philosophy type of a medallist there. But the two dots were explaining the Mishnah. The Mishnah has cryptic statements in it, and so far the Gemara is parsing each statement and explaining it. So up to the statement so far is that Anashim b'chal nezek, that women are included in nezek. The Gemara goes, how do you know that this is the case? Amar Yehuda Marav, b'chinat Rabbi Yishmael, amakra ish o isha ki asu mikol chatat. Right, so when a woman or a woman mikol chatat adam, right, hishva hakatuv isha v'ish lechol onshim shibatorah, that they include or the Torah equates a man and a woman, right, for all onshin batorah. Now the term in terms of onshin here, the term onshin, you can look at it one of two ways. So earlier in the Gemara that Tosfos brings down what we call in onshin min adin, onshin min adin, right, which is even used in categories of mammon. The term onesh can be a term that's a borrowed term or a term that's used with reference to mammon, or the possibility that there is, right, which we have to discuss, we haven't discussed this yet, but the possibility is there might be some isur violated when someone, right, does nezek or creates nezek. The Bei Rabbi Allah Zatana, Ve'ela Mishpatim, Asher Tassim Lishnehem. Right, these are the Mishpatim he put for them. Yishva Katuv, Isha V'ish L'chol Dinim Shibatara. Because Lishnehem, right, implies everyone, right, everybody that's there, it includes the men and the women. The Bei Chizki of Rabbi Yossi Aglili Tana, Amakra Be'mit Ish O Isha. So here's the victim, right, is an Ish O Isha. Any of the mitot of the Torah, it's Rikhi. We need all three of these limudim. Why? The Ish Aminon Kamaita, had I only known the first one that Ish Visha is equated or equivalent, Hatam Mudachot Rachman Allah, over there the Torah has Rachamim on her, Kihechit Avila Kapara, so that she can have a Kapara, she can bring a Korban Chatat. Right, Aval Dinim Ish, Dvar Masa Umatan In, Isha Lo. A woman, a man who is out in the commercial realm, a person who is in the business world, then he would be included under those terms of the business aspect. But isha not. V'iashmiina dinim. Right? If you had just told us about dinim, right? Then I would thought ke'echidavela chiyuto. That would give it a possibility to have an opportunity or a possibility of making a living. Because if she was not governed by the laws of the Torah when it comes to Benadam Lachevra, nobody would transact with her. Right? About Kapara, by Kapara, Ish Debar Mitzvah In, Ishad Lafat Mitzvah Lo. So it's interesting statement of the Gemara that a man who is a Bar Mitzvah, then in, Ishad Lafat Mitzvah Lo. So I don't know, you can't explain it. Obviously, women are Mitzvah in the Mitzvot, but you have to say that differential between what is a man is Mitzvah in and Isha is Mitzvah in, already will lead you to also have this deficit in the ability to do kapara. Obviously, both of these are not true, right? Because we say we need both of them. In the end, isha is equated in both these instances. Had I just these two, hakomishum kapara, v'hakomishum chiyuta. I would have thought the reason that women are included in each of these items, one is because we afford her kapara, one is because we want her the opportunity to transact and be able to make a living. About the inyan katava ish debar mitzvah. Right, again, this concept again that when it comes to killing, right, or being killed, in this instance we're talking about the victim in this instance, right, ish de bar mitzvah, then he's l'shalim kofer, m'shalim kofer, isha lo, but when it comes to a woman, maybe not. V'ish minan kofer, if you only told me about kofer, mishum di ika ibud neshama, the reason over there, by kofer we say that we would include a woman is because there's a life lost here. There's a life lost here, she's got to do something about it, we got to, right, take care of that. So then I would have the other two that do not include ibud neshama, right? I would thought no tzricha. Therefore, we need all three limudim to teach us that in all three of these instances, right, or all three of these cases, that the isha, ishva, the ish, meaning that they're all equated in all these instances. Now, Gemara goes to the next piece of the Mishnah. This is a note here, actually, before we go on to the next mission. Tosfos points out here, how do we know, like in a parsha in the Torah, how do we know that it's only referencing men, or is it referencing women and men? How do you know in the Torah that we need ribuyim in some instances? In other instances, we don't require ribuy. We need an exclusion for a woman. How do you know what includes what? So Tosfos says that when the parsha is written in Lashon Zachar, it's written in the male form, that has no implications in terms of only applying to men or not to women. That's just because the Torah is formulated or is written in Lashon Zachar. So the fact that it's written in Lashon Zachar is no evidence that a woman is excluded. Where we do have it is Hecha Dechtiv Ish Behedya. Whenever Ish is written explicitly, right, then we need a Riboy to come include an Isha. So that's what I mean. Whenever there's an Ish then you have to look for anytime there's a reason to believe that each that there's limudim that directed at strictly at males, then we have to go and have a reboy for the women. On the other hand, if it's just written in the male conjugation, that's not evidence that it doesn't apply to women. Right, so now the also Tosfos over here brings down the Tosfos. Famous Tosfos, we've seen it a couple of times. We've got it in Gittin. Also, is the question of women involved in Dayanus, right? Because we generally have a principle, that says the same. Mishpatim asher tassim lifnehem. These are the mishpatim that you put before them. And when we say lifnehem over here, we're saying we're including women. Then also, what else do we learn after Elam Mishpatim Asher Tassim Lifnehem? That it's Mumchim Velo Hedyotos. That's Beis Din. You have to have a Beis Din involved. So now, what does that mean? Or what does that imply with regards to women and Beis Din? Right, this also says, we know that there's a principle called Kosher L'Dun, Kosher L'Hayit. Whoever can be a judge can also testify. So we know that Isha is Psula L'Hayit. We know a woman is Psula L'Hedut. So she's Psula L'Hedut, that would imply, that she's also the Dayanu. And so now, Tosfos says maybe not. Maybe it's just a siman. Maybe it's not the real reason for the siman that any man, that is kosher l'dun is kosher l'eat. But that's only talking about a man. But women, that may not be a general principle. Now, what about? And this is where Tosfos always brings this up. What about Devorah? Right, Devorah was shafatah as Israel. What do you do with the fact that Devorah was shafatah as Israel?
So she was also in the army.
How do we explain the fact that she was Shafatah Yisrael? The Tosfos here brings one possibility, brings actually another place, he brings it as two separate possibilities. He says, "Ein levirad ishak shirala dun, shema hayu mikablin ota alehem mishum shechina." That they used to accept upon themselves Devorah because of the shechina. Meaning in the other place, it says, mishum nevuah, that she was a neviah, that they accepted it. So now, you have different possibilities in explaining that with Devorah. One possibility is that they just accepted her upon them. They were Makabel, her upon them, which is that we have in any place. If you want to have arbitrators, you can be Makabel, any three people, to be judges. So the same thing over here, they accepted Devorah. So this is here, connects the two with the fact that she was a neviah, or that she had Shekhinah, and that's why they accepted upon her. Could separate those. Or the other possibility is just she was a neviah. Because she's a neviah, that made it exceptional, in this instance. Or the other possibility is that she gave them over. She taught them the dinim. Not that she was Dayan, she was actually doing adjudication, but she was teaching them how to adjudicate. She was teaching them Torah. Right, those are the first ways to possibility to get around this this possibility, this issue of whether women are allowed to judge or to not judge over here. Now, now the Gemara. Right, the Gemara continues here with the Mishnah. It says, "Anizak v'hamazik b'tashlumim." Right, the Nizak and the Mazik, have to pay. Now, the Gemara's assumption here is that they both are chayot here. There's some sort of nezek where both the Mazik and the Nizak are going to lose out. So, what type of nezek is that? That's nezek of a tam, a short tam. It's chatzi nezek. Chatzi nezek. Right, then we're going to have to, each one of them is going to put in itmar. So as it says, Pagan Nizko, Rav Papa Amar Memona, Rav Huna Bredu Yeshua Amar Kanto. Right, Rav Papa says that the fact that there is half nezik by a tam is mamon. That's really what you owe. Rav Huna says, no, it's really a knas. It's a fine. Let's explain that. Rav Papa Amar Memona, Rav Papa thinks it's mamon. Kosover, Shadam, Shvarim, Lav, Bechezkot, Shimur, Kaimin. That generally Shvarim are not considered to be guarded, meaning that there's an obligation upon you to guard the shor, and you can't just assume that a shor won't naturally do these things. Ubedinu divide shlume kule. And truthfully, you're really chayim the full amount. You should be paying 100% of the damage that you did. Virachmono hu dechat ale. The Torah has rachamim on him. De akase lo yaid tore. Right? That his shor was not yet a muad. I mean, okay, fine, he is sure, he should have watched the shor more. But look, these are almost like a natural part of society. The shvarim are all around. He did his best a little bit. He doesn't know yet if he's extra careful with this shore. The Torah says, until we know for certain that this shore is really a shore that gets out of control, then we'll have rachamim on him and he'll have to pay half. But what does that indicate? It indicates that really chayav 100%. And we just deduct, and we give him a discount on the payment. But that means that it's really mamon. It's really has to pay this. He thinks it's a knas. Why? The tzavar some shvarim becheska shimur kaimei. Most shvarim what are in a cheska of shimur. That means that the natural state of a shore is not to do damage. It's not to do damage. Ubedinu the lowly shalim kval. That's the case. Why you chayv at all? Because it wouldn't even have come upon your mind to watch the shore because you think that they self-regulate. The shvarim don't do damage. They self-regulate. You don't have to watch them. Rachmanu hu dekanse. The Torah imposed the knas here. To ensure that you take care of your shore. That means that even though the natural state is that they self-regulate themselves, we don't want an instance where the people are just letting their shvarim run around and, you know, causing damage or the possibility of causing damage. So in order to encourage the people to at least pay some attention to the shvarim, we put a knas on them to say, look, be a little more careful, be a little more aware of what's happening with the shvarim. Now Gemara says, son, our Mishnah should be approved to win on these two sides. What's that? A nizak mazik b'tashlumim. How do you have an instance where the nizak and the mazik are both losing in the tashlumim, are both paying? Bishlon mandamar mil palka nizka mimolna. That makes sense according to one who says palka nizka mimolna. Why? Because he should have paid 100%, right? And he's getting a discount right on the mount. So who's losing out? Both of them. The mazik is paying because he owes for the nezak he did, and the nizak is really losing out 50% of what he's entitled to. So they're both really paying interest. I know the Shayok, Nizak, right? Batash Lumim. That means that the Nizak is participating in the loss here. Right? Ella, the Mandam or Paganitzka Kansel. If you say that Paganitzka is a Knas, Hashtag the love the day, Shakyo Batash Lumim, Ite. Right over here, the fact that he's getting the 50% of the value is all a bonus. I mean, he's entitled to nothing. The Nizak is entitled to zero over here. We force the mazik to pay in. So now, right, the mazik's paying in. What about the nizak? He's not paying anything in it. He's actually benefiting by 50% more than he should have gotten. So what type of loss does he really take? He's not paying anything. So where's this?
Just in general, the story of the chasr chman. We know chasr chman is that, so the Torah tells that for him, but not for the victim.
I think that in order to, I'm assuming that because it was so common in their society to have shvarim, that it would be untenable to have a situation where every time a shore did, you know, damage like this, that we have to watch every single shore in every single way. So they give people some leeway in order to determine which shvarim are difficult and which are not difficult. I think it's some dispensation to allow normal living to go on. Right, so lo nisrucho, ela lepchat nevela. According to one who says, halka niska kanso, right, what do you need it for? You need it for pchat nevela. What's pchat nevela? Right, that we talked about this before. What happens when the nizak, when the animal dies, right, is killed by another animal? So the animal, the nizak, who has to take care of the nevela? We said that is the position, or that's the obligation of the nizak, right? That he has to make the right? So that he has to take care of it. Not only does he have to take care of it, but he's on the hook for the depreciation of the nevela between the time that it's killed and the time they get to this. That's the nizak's problem. All right, now you have both of them paying in. Why? Because the mazik's paying in because he damaged, right? The nizak's paying in because it's an nevela depreciates. Mm-hmm. He's now, right, losing out. That differential between the time of a mazik and the time of when it was killed, he loses that money. The mazik's not going to make him up. He's not going to make him whole in that. So even Pagan is not, so we have a case like that, right? Pchat nevela, the Gemara says, no, you want to talk about pchat nevela? All time lay ratio. That's exactly what we learned out of the ratio. What? That's the shlumei nezek, mishalem, melametra, balim, etapzim, benevela. That's what we learned from the previous Mishnah, right? That was the Chiddush, that what does it mean, Tashlumim Nezek? That they only do Tashlumim. They only add on above the value of the Nevela, and that the Pachad Nevela is the problem of the Nizak. So why do I need two Mishnayos to tell me the same thing about Pachad Nevela? It says, I do. Why? Pachad Abitam, Pachad Abimua. There are two types of Shvari. There's a Shvar that is a Tam, and a Shvar that is a Muad. Vitricha. Ne'i Ashmi'inan Tam Mishum Dakati Lo Yayit. I would think by the case of Tom, because it's not Yayed, that's why it's the obligation of the Nizak to take care of the Nevela. Because the Tom, we can't put too much burden on the Mazik. Of a Muad, Emelo. But if he's a Muad, we say, no, listen, man, he knows already that he's going out and doing damage. He's going to be responsible, then he's going to lose everything, including the Nevela. Vish Me'inan Muad, had he only done Ben Mishnum to come and Shalem Kulit. He's paying for everything already. If he's going to pay for everything, then let's say Nizak deal with the Nevela. About Tom, but the Tom was only paying Chatzi Nezek, and they already, the Nizak losing out. Let him at least take care of the Nevela, so that he doesn't lose out more than that. Right? Emelo, three chats. Therefore, we need one on each. And Tom and Muad teach the Chiddush that Pchad Nevela is the Nizak's problem in both instances, both by Tom and by Muad. Tashma. It says, let's try to prove whether it's paganist, kamamona, paganist, kanasa. Why? Ma ben tam limulad. What's the difference between a tam and a muad? Shatam b'shalem chatzi nezek migufo. That a tam pays half damages migufo, meaning no more than the value of the animal or the that did the damage as a mazik. Umuad b'shalem nezek shalem, because he pays full amount of the damage, plus min aliyah. He pays out of his estate. I mean, it's irrespective of how much the animal who did the damage is worth, he pays the full amount of the damage. Ve'mi'isa, if this is the case, litna namiha. If this is the case, then you have an additional, what? Additional differential. What's the additional differential? That if you hold a pauganiska mamonahu, there's nothing to talk about. That's, everything's covered. But if you hold pauganiska kansuhu, we learned before, there's a special din in knas, which is a modeh v'knas is potur. Someone who admits to doing something that is a fine in the Torah, you are patur. That would actually make a differential here. There's an additional differential between tam and muad. Is if I admit that my short tam did damage, I'd be patur, because that's a knas. Then if I admit that my short muad did damage, I'd be chayav, because that is mamon. How come they don't mention this difference? Right? We should have this difference between them. Tam inu mishalem al piatzmo, muad mishalem al piatzmo. Right, that would be, we have an additional item. If you hold that palga niska kanso, we have an additional differential between muad and tam. So now, how come that's not mentioned over there? So Mar says, tana b'shia. And of course, tana gave us a general principle, but there are other things that he left out between a tam and a muad. Mar says, my shir, the high shir. Fine, he left out this, which is the difference between in modi b'knas, plus or not. But what else? What else did he leave out? So Mar says, shir chatzi kofer. He left out chatzi kofer. What does that mean? That a muad will pay full kofar, and a tam will pay chatzi kofar. When it says, imishum chatzi kofar lav shiurahu, that's not chatzi kofar, that's not left out. Why? Hamani Rabbi Yosef Galilihi, da'amar tam mishalem chatzi kofar. Right? Why? Because that is, according to Rabbi Yosef Galilihi, who holds that what? That tam pays chatzi kofar. There's two possibilities, again, by tam. Right, tam by kofar. When a short muad kills somebody, they have to pay kofar. Period. By a tam, there's two possibilities. Either tam pays nothing, and he won't pay kofar at all. Or the other possibility is that he what? He pays, right? He pays chatzi kofar. Right? Now, if you hold that he pays no kofar, right, then you have another differential between a tam and muad. The muad pays kofar, and a tam pays no kofar. Now, if you say to me, wait a minute, there's also another. Why don't you have to say, even if you say that he pays chatzi kofar, there's a difference. The muad pays full kofar, and the tam pays chatzi kofar. That, Rashi, it doesn't say, subsumed under nezek shalem and chatzi nezek. That you don't need a separate memra to tell me about. But, if you pay full kofar by muad, and chatzi kofar by tam, but if you pay no kofar by tam, then you have another difference between a tam and a muad that should have been mentioned. So now, if you tell me what was left over, I say left over is that the difference between tam and muad is if you're modiv knas, you're patur. Number two is by kofar. A muad pays full kofar, tam pays nothing. So Mar says that shiur of kofar is not a real kofar. Why? Because who's the author of our Mishnah? It's Rabbi Yosef Galili, who says you pay chatzi kofar. You pay chatzi kofar, then already we mentioned it as nezek shalem and chatzi nezek. That's not a shiur.
So the Gemara doesn't bring a second case of shiur.
No. The Gemara rejects says there is no second case of shiur. All right. Now Tashma, Haymi shori et ploni or shoro shel ploni. Right. My shiur killed this individual, or my shiur, right, or killed another shiur, someone else's shiur. Harizem mishalem al pi etmo. Here he pays on his own, right, on his own. Because why? That is mamo, right? The case where it's supposed to be shiur muad, it's mamo, and he's going to pay. My lav patam. Someone says, oh wait, maybe it's patam. If he's paying, that means that what? It must be pal beniska mamona. Someone says, answers up low, bemuad. Right, that's easy to solve. We'll just say that case embraces muad. About tam, my, what would be done by tam? Akanami, the aim of shalom api atzmo. He wouldn't pay. Based on his own admission, he would not pay because it's paga, right? It's paga niska kanso. It's knas, mother, knas, it's a mother. Right. Iochi, adatani seifa. The second half of that memra says, listen to this. What? Hemit shori is abdosho ploni. If he comes and admits that my shor killed this evit, what's the din of an evit that's killed by a shor? You pay shloshim shel evit. Shloshim shel evit is a knas. If he comes over here, he's modeh b'knas, ein mishal eim al piyatzmo. Right, then he doesn't pay on his own admission because it's modeh b'knas is patur. So Gemara says, wait a minute. If you know that muad is mamon and you'd pay al piyatzmo, tam is knas, I won't pay al piyatzmo. Why do I have to go to Eved to come up with a case of Knas to be Potter? Right? I can create it within the one category, I can create the same thing. All we'd have to say is that's true by Amuot. Right, so that I wouldn't be right. I wouldn't have to pay. You could have just made that differentiation between Muad and Tam instead of going to Shloshim to Eved to get Knas.
Exactly.
So I said, no, Kula b'Muad Kamari. That right, just wants to deal with the shore Muad. It's not dealing with Tam at all. Right, it just wants to deal with Muad. So within Muad, it wants to go over the case of Mamon, which is right if he kills a person or another shore, and a case of Knas, which is the killing an Eved. Okay, now we might say Tashma, another principle. Zakwal, I have a principle. Kol Hamishalim Yoter Amasha Hezik. Anybody who pays more than what they damage, in Mashalim Opiatmo. Yes, there's a possibility that you could pay more than the true damage of what you did.
That is
like Shloshim Shalevid. Shloshim Shalevid, possibly the Eved is worth less than 30, and you're still paying Shloshim. You pay more. Right. So clear in that case, that is a Knas. That's the principle of the Gemara today. It's not based on the damage you did, but rather, your payment is a fixed payment that can exceed the value of your damage. That is a Knas. Now, the Gemara says, well, it only talks about one stab of Knas, which is what? It's more than the damage you did. But this cloud does not include is something that is less than the damage you did. My love, I bought for much Ezek Mishalim. Sounds like what? If it's less than that amount, you'll pay. So if that's the case, it sounds like Talganiska is Mamona, not Kansa. So the Gemara says, well, how can much Ezek Mishalim? Right now, the principle is like this. If you pay like what you damage, then that's fine. Avo pachol, my. If it's less than that, al kanami, delo mashalim, you wouldn't pay al piatmo, because that is a knas. Right, so Mar says, ihochi, if that's the case, if that's the principle you want to establish, adatani zekral, kol mashalim, yoter al mashayazik, enu mashalim al piatmo. Right, instead of phrasing the klal as being, if I pay more than what I damaged, then I don't pay al piatmo, then it's a knas, I don't pay al piatmo, you should have phrased it like this, litnei, zekral, kol she'enu mashalim, kamashayazik. Anybody doesn't pay exactly what they damaged, right? Then, Eno Mishalim Opiatmo. Because that would have inferred or implied both more or less. Why did the cloud or principle established over here only mention more and not less? You could have written it in a way that would have included both. Right? It would have been generic or ambiguous enough that it would have said either more or less. That is a knas. The fact that it didn't implies that when it's more, right, then it is a right, knas. When it's less, it's not a knas. What's the case of less? It's a less is Talganiska. So it sounds like. That's a very strong question against the one who says Palganiska Kansum. That was the Gemara. Vehilkasa, the Locha is Palganiska Kansum. The Locha is like the one who says that Moshe is a Knas, even though it's quite odd. So Mark says, Tiyukta, Vehilkasa, what type of a Locha? It says, you have a Tiyukta and then you get him up with a Locha. It says, in. Time of my, right? Happy Tiyukta. What's the problem? Why is this such a strong question? Mishum de Lokani, Moshe Zik. Because right, it should have said, instead of Yoter Masha Hezik, it should have said Kamosha Hezik. It shouldn't say more than he damaged, or rather, any different than what he damaged, right? Lo Psikale. Problem is that it's not Psikale. Why is that? What does Psikale mean? It's that it's not total, it's not an absolute principle. When it's more than the damage, that's an absolute principle, that's a Knas, it's always considered a Knas. When it's less, it's not an absolute principle. Why is it not an absolute principle? One of the, I only mentioned one before, but there are two cases where you pay Chatzi Nezek. There's Chatzi Nezek of Tam. And what's the other case of Chatzi Nezek? We learned before is Chatzi Nezek Tzroros. Right, which is a total of Rega. Chatzi Nezek Tzroros, everybody agrees is Mamon. Everybody says that's Mamon and not Knas. Right, that's the local Moshe Sinai. That Chatzi Nezek Tzroros is Mamon. Now I have a problem. You can't establish a principle that anytime it's less than what you damage, that's a Knas. Why? Because I have an exception. The exception is Chatzi Nezek Tzroros. Therefore, when he establishes the principle, he establishes the principle as absolute. When it's more, that's an absolute principle, that is a knas. When it's less, we have one time when it is a knas, one time when it's mamon, so I can't establish that principle. Okay, we need to chati nezek tzoros, the hilchos of gemirla de mamonu, where we have the luck on which we see neither, that is mamon, shemachi lo ktani, therefore you couldn't include it in the principle. Now the Gemara says, v'hashta marit palga niska kanto. Now that you say that palga niska is a knas, that has implications for halacha, major implications of knas. What? Hi, Kalbo, the Achal Imre, this dog that went ahead and ate a sheep. Shunro, the Achal Tarnagolo, or a cat that ate a tarnagolo, or it ate a chicken. Mishunahu, this is unusual behavior. Beloma be in Bavel, and therefore in Bavel, we will not collect on it. Why? Because it's a principle that in Bavel, we are not dani, dine, knasot. Right? Inside, only inside of Eretz Yisrael we do it. Why? Because you require smicha. Smicha is only available or applicable in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore only mukhim with smicha were in Eretz Yisrael and they were dan dinei knasot. In Bavel they were not dan dinei knasot. So palga niska is of tam is knasa. They wouldn't be dan such a nezek in Bavel. So these unusual cases, these are animals that are damaging in an unusual way. They're killing in an unusual way. Therefore we would not collect in Bavel this. That's only if it's a big sheep or a big chicken. Well, bezutre, if it's a small, it's a lamb or it's a like a chick, then urchehu. Then it's normal for a dog or a cat to eat such items, and therefore it'll be a chesek of shame, not a chesek of keren, and therefore you would collect it. V'itofos lo maskina mineh in Bavel. If he goes ahead and takes it, takes the value of what he should have been paid, then we don't remove it from him. V'iamar, I'm going to come back to this statement in 1 second. V'iamar kavuli zimna da'zilna l'ar d'Yisrael kavinenle. He said, I want a date to go to court in Eretz Yisrael, so can I have dinei kenosot? We set it for him. We set the date for the nizak, and the mazik is now obligated to go up to Eretz Yisrael because he wants a date. He wants to get his snack tape. V'ilu azil, if the mazik doesn't go up there to go to the court case, shamtinenle. We put him into nidoy. V'inkach v'shamtinenle ad v'salik ezekah. And either way, whether he gets to make this claim or takes him up to Eretz Yisrael or not, nevertheless, we put him into Shamto until he removes the hezek, meaning until he removes the animal that caused the hezek. Right? Meaning the Rabbi Nosson, because the principle of Rabbi Nosson, the Tanya of Rabbi Nosson, Omer Minay Shloi Gadel Adam, Kalev Ra'ab Toch Beto, Vamid Sus Olam Ru'ua Betoch Beto. How do we know that you're not allowed to bring up a bad dog, right? A dog that does damage or somebody that is, you know, dangerous, and a weak ladder, I mean a ladder that could fall, that somebody might use and cause damage. Right, that you can't put something that will cause death or damage in your house. Lo tasim damim b'techa obligates you to remove something that is dangerous from your household. The Tosfos here establishes a very important principle. Other Rishonim disagree. Other Tosfos disagree. I'll show you Tosfos. We know that the other Tosfos disagree. The last Tosfos on the page. If he's tofes the knas. Right, then we don't, meaning that he's entitled to chatzi nezek, and he goes and grabs it, we don't take it back from him in Bavel. So it's limits that. He says, listen, it's Omer Rambeinu Tam, Dafko Itafa Mazik Atmo, that if he's lonely when he's toe-faced, the object that did the damage. You go and tell the Ashuna, grab the dog or the cat that did the damage, Kamar, Dolom Askin is the Mazik, right, Ekilu Chachamim Shukhula Zikbo, that at the time of the hezek, the Torah, their mako, that he could grab that item. In lachko b'shat hezek, if he took it at the time that the damage is done, he grabs the animal, then it's called tafas. Aval midei achrina lo. First of all, something else not. Anything besides the animal that did the damage, you cannot take. Number two, you can only do it b'zman hezek. The time that he did the damage, if you grab it right away, fine. Later on, I don't think you can come and do this. The
word just said that he's got assuming he didn't grab it, the owner has to destroy
the hezek. Right,
right. So it's okay to keep it around. Why
do
you have to destroy it? Because the danger is out.
Right, so I don't think, right. It's interesting, right.
He's allowed to keep it around with the original owner.
Right, I know, but that's
so
just
something. So he's going to take it and he's going to...
Right, I know, it's a very good question. But that, listen, if he took anything he wanted and he wouldn't take it away from him, Yavoli de Takala, right, it'll cause huge problems. That Yom Al-Amachar, you go, call a shalom. The guy will show up, take the other guy's everything he has, until he pays up. And then we won't take it away from him. And the guy will end up losing more than the damage that he did. So Tosfos is basically over here. This idea of Tafas, Lom of Kinim, is basically vigilantism, right? That person takes the law into his own hands. Tosfos is very wary of this idea that you can take the law into your own hands. He limits this ability to take the law into your own hands to unique to the mazik, the object that's doing the hezek, and at the time of the hezek. By limiting it, he says that we're not going to have a lawless society where everybody's taking the law into their own hands. He very, 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 very narrows the amount or the time period in which you can take, right, the object to be tough as some of kingdom in life. Now the question is why not? Meaning that the other posts can disagree with those, and say you can take whatever you tell us is good. So he's just afraid of that, because he says we're going to take all the stuff and we're not going to take it away from him. You can disagree with Tosfos on that major point. If I take more than the animal damage, then it becomes a dinei mamonos now. It's no longer a dinei knas. Right, it's neva. I'm taking more. Now the court can come in and take mafkia. I mean, it can be mafkia from him up to the amount or beyond the amount of the nezek. It's more interesting that Tosfos has a limitation. I think there are ways to get around it. The other Tosfos would disagree with Tosfos. And then the basic principle is that we would be mafkia. If it's more than the hezek, we would be mafkia minay, and that would solve the problem and the worry that Tosfos had. But it's a very, very interesting and important Tosfos because of that, this idea that he's not willing to allow it to become a lawless society where everybody takes the din into their own hands. And it's a very, very, very important principle because we don't want this coming up where everybody just does or takes care of themselves, and then we don't have a rule of law, or the courts don't have any ability to be shomer on the people now. Alright, so now this Mishnah, right, the Mishnah is this, Kamisha Tamim V'Chamisha Mu'adim. There's five types of Tam, five types of Mu'ad. Behema Inu Mu'edet Lo Ligach, so these are the five, right, Behema, these are all subcategories of Karen. Right, not Mu'edet Lo Ligach, right, not to, right, bump in the Karen, to be, you know, to gore. Lo Ligof, not to bump with his body. Lo Lashuch, to bite. Here it's biting, not to eat Lahana, but biting to rip something apart. Lo Lirvot, not to call it to trample on it or to kick, right? Below the oath here means kick out. Vashain, right? So that's our five different categories of Karen, subcategories of Karen. Now, the Mu'ad side. Hashain mu'edet le'achot ha'ro'ila. Shain is a mu'ad to eat that which is food for the animal. A regal mu'edet le'jbor b'derech hiruchah. A regal is a mu'ad to do damage while it's walking, in the natural course of its walking. V'shor ha'mu'ad. Right, a shor mu'ad is been goring. That's been worn three times. Right now, it's a shor mu'ad. V'ashor ha'mazik b'rishut ha'nizak. And a shor that does damage, even a tam in the property of the nizak, would also be considered classified as a mu'ad. V'adam. That's number five. Adam is number five. Then the Mishnah adds additional. The Gemara is going to ask why these weren't included in the numbers. Hazaev, v'ari, v'adov. Right, a wolf, a lion, a bear, a namer, a weasel, or some sort of leopard, a bardalus. Right, here's, again, I don't know, some sort of weasel type of animal. But nachash, a snake, are even mu'adim. These are all mu'ad from the beginning because they're dangerous animals. There's no such thing as a period of time for these animals. There's no break. Rabbi Allah, remember, manchein b'nei tarbut, if they're domesticated, ain't a mu'adim. They're not. But nachash mu'adim alone. But at least he agrees that by a snake, there's no such thing as a domesticated snake. Alright, the Gemara says, this is something we saw before. Miktani Hashem mu'edet lechol miklau, the b'chatzer nizak yafkina. Must be that we're talking about a case where we're in the chatzer nizak. Because where is Shein chayav? Shein is only chayav here every day. Acher. Who's the acher? That's the nizak's property. So the Shein is only chayav when you're in the nizak's property. Miktani. And everything says, behema inu mu'edet l'shalem kule. Aval chatzi nezak m'shalemet. Right, that's the first half of our mission says that in that instance, when you do the damage of Karen, you pay Chatzi Nezek. It's in the Nizak property, you're paying Chatzi Nezek. Mani, who's that? That's the Rabbanan, who believed, Dari Mishuna Karen B'Chatzi Nizak, Chatzi Nezek with the Mishalim. Karen, which is Mishuna, when it's in the Chatzi Nizak, right, you only pay Chatzi Nezek, like you do in Mishuna Rabin. Anyway you do damage with the boring, you're going to pay Chatzi Nezek. Ema Seifa, what do you get in the Seifa, which I pointed out when we're reading in the Mishnah? Shor Amu'ad, Bishor, what is the one the Mu'ad being mentioned in the Mishnah? Shor Mazik Bishuta Nezek. The shore that the damage in the property of the Nizak, that's one of the Mu'adim. Who's that? Like Vadam Atam the Rabbi Tarfon. That sounds like Rabbi Tarfon. That was Am Rishuna Karen Bechetzan Achatzer Anizak. And it's like Shalem with the Mishalem. Right? That he paid full damage in the Chatzin Nizak, even on the first time. There is no such thing as Tam in the Chatzin Nizak. Right, exactly. This is where we quoted it from. We quoted it from here, from this Mishnah. We said before, he says on the Mishnah, we're going to apply those over here. This is the source. That's what it says. Reisha Rabbanan and Besefer Rabbi Tarfon. Okay. It suggests the Mishnah has a Reisha that's Rabbanan and Besefer Rabbi Tarfon. In Damala Shmuel Rabbi Uda, Shinah Shavuk Matnissan. This is the Mishnah. Leave our Mishnah, by Taba Shrai, put it out. Reisha Rabbanan and Besefer Rabbi Tarfon. Meaning that this Mishnah is not a single author. This Mishnah is comprised of two authors. Reisha, that is Rabbanan, and Seifa, that is Rabbi Tarfon. Okay, tomorrow we'll do Rabbi Lazar's opinion. It says that it's Kula Rabbi Tarfon. All right, we'll stop over here.